Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast for the people out there. Welcome to April. It's beyond March. This is no longer March. It is April for the Detroit Shock. Ryan, can we run down that championship-winning team from the 2003 season?
Yeah, big fan. They beat the Los Angeles Sparks 2-1.
Something about those years. Good for beating LA. Yeah.
Yep. Swin Cash, Deanna Nolan, Cheryl Ford, Karl Malone's love child.
Yep. I'm going to be honest. I never knew Swin Cash played for a Detroit team.
Really? Swin Cash was really good.
She's a legend. She's probably one of the best. Like, she's down all time, like top 5-10 all time women's basketball players.
Well, yeah. I mean, comes from Connecticut too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, probably, I mean, as far as a name and a name bracket tournament, if I can try to make this Detroit Lions related or Pride of Detroit related, I think Swin Cash would probably run away with a name bracket tournament.
We should have pride for our women's basketball team that we no longer have. Speaking of which, rest in peace to UConn, who got beat by Notre Dame. We're finally going to have an NCAA women's final without UConn, which is exciting. It's exciting, right, guys?
Sure.
Just before you send in anything to us, please do not send in anything derogatory about women's sports. Now that we're getting back to our serious subjects about the Detroit Lions, don't do that.
Am I right in saying that the Shock would have swept Los Angeles in the finals if it weren't for the last second three pointer by Kobe Bryant? Or am I getting my wires twisted?
You're
what?
I don't even know what's going on anymore. As you can probably tell with some of the inflections in Ryan's voice, he's sick. I spent the morning throwing up. April Fool's is not going well for us as we sit here on Sunday recording. Jeremy is doing fine, but very soon he will not be fine because he just downed a Jack in the Box breakfast sandwich.
No tacos though, so I'll be tacos. At least okay, because I have a little bit of self-pride.
Yeah, you had like the fried chicken breakfast sandwich instead.
Yeah, you had like that's the a lot better biscuit. than just grease-stained tacos.
Violently disagree.
All right, you want to talk some Lions, or are we just going to go whole April Fool's podcast and not talk one lick of Lions? Although I think some people would argue that's just a normal episode.
Some people would argue that. The problem is this is also coming out in a second, so April Fool's is over. And of course, we've now reached that meta stage with April Fool's where everyone's arguing about what should or should not be done on April Fool's and whether it's good or bad. And I've always squarely been a let people cook kind of guy. So I'm not in the mood to just nitpick at it. But yeah, let's talk some Lions. I'm sorry. This is going on too long and I'm trying to hold off my sickness again. So
we actually didn't even intro ourselves.
We have not. I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online, reminding me, thank you. Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan_POD. He's sick. We're going to try to keep him upright. And we're here to talk about games. We're here to talk about the Detroit Lions and give you tidbits about the Detroit Shock, the former WNBA team of the city of Detroit. I miss them. I can't believe they went to Oklahoma. It's like a bad idea.
Gone too soon.
On the Lions side of things, we do have some news to talk about. A couple new signings before we get into some of our more feature stories. You want to just kind of break down some of the news and reactions? The only guy I really know is Toilolo because I keep reading it and I keep thinking Toledo. And I just can't figure out something else.
Well, Levine Toilolo, tight end from the Falcons, signed a 1-year, I want to say $2 million deal, $400,000 signing bonus. So he's going to be part of the team in 2018, almost guaranteed. This isn't a insignificant signing. I think he's going to be part of the rotation there at tight end. And it's really interesting what they're doing with the tight end crew now that Eric Ebron's gone, because they kind of have a veteran now in Luke Wilson, who Some people say he could break out in that number one role if given the chance. They signed Lavine Toilolo, who's kind of a younger guy. He's only 26, but he too is kind of a guy that could break out. You know, one of these guys, it's like, he needed a change of scenery, or he just wasn't given the opportunities. He's capable of Atlanta. And then you have Michael Roberts, who I think a lot of people were expecting to take the jump to number two tight end this year. Now it seems like maybe he's going to get another year waiting in the wings. I don't really know what the plan is for tight ends in 2018, and I'm very curious. And then there's also the factor of, does this take tight end out of the equation in the draft? And so I'm curious as to what you guys think.
I don't think it moves the needle for me. And to be honest, this kind of smacks of what Bob Quinn has done at other positions in previous years, where they just grab random things, throw it against the wall, and see what sticks. Like, I don't think anything that he's signed to that position, be it Luke Wilson or Toilolo, like, looks like a permanent solution. It looks like maybe this might pan out, but we don't know.
Right. And they're both 1-year deals too, right? So
Yeah. So
there's definitely some of that going on. Ryan, what do you think of, I guess we can wrap the Luke Wilson signing in with this. What do you think of where the lines are at tight end right now?
Yeah, I think that with the guys that they have right now, with Wilson and Toilolo and Roberts, you have options, but I just don't think it adds up to where the Lions were a year ago with Ebron and Fells, and then, you know, eventually when they added Roberts in the draft. I truly don't see Roberts as being that guy who's going to be able to take that like leap. And I think a lot of people assume that he might. I mean, with an additional workload, it's just something hard to envision. And especially because, like you said, the Toilolo contract is structured in a way where it seems like it's almost guaranteed that he'll be on the roster when the season starts. So does that say that Roberts is still the number three? Because if they're still expecting Roberts to be that third tight end option, and you've replaced Fells and Ebron with Wilson and Toilolo, I don't know how I'm supposed to figure that tight end combination is better than what they had a year ago. Not even close.
Yeah, and I don't think it is better. And I think the Lions, you know, they won't say it out loud, but they know that too. The question is whether that's on purpose. Are they purposely spending less resources on the position to spend it elsewhere? Is tight end going to be a less important role with this offense in 2018 than it was in 2017? And to me, the biggest thing that I'm curious about now is what does this mean for the future? Because like Chris mentioned, this doesn't seem like a long-term plan with what both of them on 1-year deals, and both of the additions just kind of like, well, maybe this will work out, maybe it won't. I do think short-term this does change the Lions' drafting plans. I don't think tight end should be in play in the first couple of rounds now. I didn't really think it was before, but now they can certainly get by without drafting one that they expect to contribute in the rookie year. And that's kind of expecting a lot of a rookie anyways. I think we've mentioned on the show before, tight end is not an easy position to play earlier in your career, which is why maybe they aren't ready for Michael Roberts to make that jump in 2018. But I just think like we can stop probably talking about Mike Gesicki or any of Goddard, any of those top tight end prospects early in the draft. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I've mentioned it time and time again before. It seems like one of Bob Quinn's biggest goals in free agency is to get those contingency plans in place so that they don't have to pick a position early in the draft. And I think that's what these two signings were all about, is that contingency plan. Now they don't have to go out and get a tight end in the draft early. They can let it slide, and they can just hope that Toilolo reaches their highest potential. And if they don't, I don't know how much it'll affect this offense, to be honest.
Well, here's my thing with Toilolo. Like, do you think that he's just a situational guy? Because when I look at him, and when I look at the way that he's used, and I look at his all of his measurables and everything, being a guy who's 6'8", I mean, is he really just going to be like a red zone guy, you think?
It's hard to say because, like you said, he's a super athletic guy, super big, and the Falcons just really couldn't really seem to develop him as a receiver. He got better as a blocker, and I think maybe that's why he'll be more of, you know, a Darren Fells type than Eric Ebron. But but it seems like a waste of those athletic traits to just make him a blocker, just make him a red zone threat. But I think if you're expecting a lot more than that, you're kind of have your head in the clouds a little bit.
Head in the clouds about Lions guys, huh? That's something we're pretty good about seeing people get on about. But like, yeah, I just, once again, this kind of keeps, I mean, people keep telling us, stop talking about the tight end, stop talking about, you know, Eric Ebron, but I just don't know what, like, once again, this goes back to the fact that I just don't look at what they're doing at that position and seeing that they had a plan in place other than we need to cut Eric Ebron. And I mean, there's been some talk coming out too about it was kind of financially motivated too, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll probably talk a little bit about that in next segment, because we're going to talk about the owners' meetings. And that's essentially exactly what Bob Quinn said, is purely a financial decision. He kind of took the high road with all the stuff bubbling underneath the surface there. But I don't know. Something about the Toilolo signing is a little intriguing to me, because he was also one of those free agents that was essentially a salary cap cut. So he signed a 3-year extension last year, which is almost identical to the situation that Sylvester Williams was in, right? Like, he had just signed an extension last year, but both teams backed out of the deal, which goes to show you again that any deal that's longer than 2 or 3 years is not necessarily a two or three year deal. Teams back out of them all the time.
Yeah.
So the fact that Toilolo and Williams had just signed multi-year extensions is at least intriguing for the Lions. These are guys that at one point in their career, teams thought that they could have them around for the long term. And since the Lions aren't, you know, signing these guys to long-term deals, they could potentially work out. But,
well,
I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say two very specific things that I think operating around, like, the Sylvester Williams and the Toilolo things are, like, look at the Titans. Like, is it one of these cases where, like, other, like, so, I mean, the Titans have, like, a whole new regime come in. Vrabel's their head coach now, but then all of a sudden they're spending on all these new shiny toys and, like, Malcolm Butler and, you know, Deion Lewis. They're signing all these players, and then, you know, now it's time to have some cap casualties. In Toilolo's case, I mean, they spent a bunch of money on a Devontae Freeman extension, and then on top of that, Matt Ryan's due for a new contract soon too. So just goes to show how, like, certain positions in the NFL are prioritized, and one of them is definitely not nose tackle, and the other one might be tight end, for as popular a position as it might be.
And it's interesting you bring up the Matt Ryan extension as a possible reason why they cut Toilolo, because they also gave him, if I'm not mistaken, the June 1st designation, which means they don't get that cap relief until June 1st. And that's about the time you start thinking about extensions for players for the next year. So they save $3.5 million in cap space. That could almost certainly go towards Matt Ryan's extension, and it could be the reason why Toilolo is now a Line.
All right, let's take a break here. And we mentioned the owners meeting, so I think that's going to be our next solid thing of discussion as we talk about the Detroit Lions and probably the Detroit Shock at some point. Going through here on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Welcome to April. PODcast. Jeremy, you mentioned the owners meeting. As always, I've been out of the loop a little bit lately, so you want to just give the rundown on it? Obviously, from the Lions side, we had the news of Bob Quinn mentioning what he said about Eric Ebron, that it was purely a financial situation, which I'm not sure I really buy that, but just, you know, people keep yelling at us to stop talking about this, but I'm sorry, we've got, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because during these annual meetings, we get media talking to Bob Quinn, talking to Matt Patricia, talking to Rod Wood, and it's one of the rare times of years where we get that. Like, we probably won't hear from Bob Quinn until the draft, and then after the draft, we probably won't hear from him again until next year. So it's always interesting to hear those guys talk, and I think probably the biggest news was Bob Quinn talking about the Eric Ebron cutting, saying it was a decision that they made at the last minute. They kept going back and forth. They said they kept Eric Ebron in the loop, but ultimately said strictly financial. Said, you know, wishes Ebron the best. Didn't speak at all. I was kind of hoping a reporter would ask him about the report about Ebron refusing to agree to a long-term deal to stretch out that cap hit, because he did say, Bob Quinn did say, that the reason trades never seem to work out, the other teams would always mention that cap figure for 2018 was just too high for him. So that's one thing from the owners' meetings. Matt Patricia is always fun to talk about, but he never really gives up a lot of information. The one thing he did say was that the Lions were a little weak at the tight end position and they might be looking for one in free agency. The next day they signed Levine Toilolo. So he actually spoke some truth. There wasn't smoke and mirrors. But I think the one thing I want to talk about this segment is the rule changes, because that's usually the biggest news to come from owners' meetings. And, you know, talk is cheap with with GMs and coaches. So the biggest news, there was a pair of big news. One is that there are going to be changes to the catch rule. They're essentially eliminating the going to the ground rule. And then the other is, it hasn't been completed yet, but there's changes to how players can run with the ball or tackle. And that means no leading with the head, whether you're on offense or defense. You cannot lead with the crown of the helmet. So that means running backs can't truck people that way. And then it looks like targeting is coming to the NFL. And that to me is the biggest news, is that there's a targeting rule that's almost certainly going to be added this year. And that means players potentially getting kicked out of games. That means a lot of, I mean, if you watch any college football, you realize how inconsistent targeting has been. And that's going to be a really concern, really big concern with the NFL this year, if they do indeed adopt targeting. What are your guys' thoughts on targeting in the NFL? I get the sense that it's well-minded, but I don't know about its enforcement. I'm very nervous about its enforcement.
Oh, wow. Football people are mad that we're trying to protect players. Wow. But, no, I mean, look, I watch, you guys know me, I watch a lot of college football. All I'll say is, like, I think a lot of the reason the targeting rule gets some people kind of their dander up is because the early inclinations of that targeting rule were pretty bad. Like, the idea that you could, even if it was overturned, you were still, you know, taking the penalty yards or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They've kind of fixed that up. I'm fine with that. Like, look, there's absolutely, I think there needs to be better ideas about what constitutes, you know, intent when it comes to it. But these kind of hits need to fucking stop. Like, and
they do.
It involves, I mean, look, we have people get thrown out of games in other sports too. We have the technical foul in basketball. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's more to the fact that, once again, if people are kvetching that their best, that, you know, a player is getting thrown out. Well, once again, it's going back to what I've been banging on for so damn long here, is that these rosters are too thin. These rosters are too thin. So suddenly a guy getting thrown out is suddenly what, the killer? Like, because you can't figure out a good backup? Like, come on. No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it because people have, once again, football has decided for a very long time it can't figure out how to behave. And it can't figure out how to behave or how to handle these topics. So it needs to get put in a goddamn corner at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up
your guys' brains we're talking about here. Brains. We're talking about people and their mentality. I'm so tired of going online and seeing another interview with some, you know, defensive back or a linebacker who's saying that he can't remember his daughter's birthday, like anything that happened on it. Like, that's what's going to kill the sport. I'm sorry. Like, everything else we talk about, there's a lot that's going to probably kill football, but those kind of harrowing images, those speak to people, and they speak to people more than just this insipid need to see a bone crunching hit. And I'm fine with targeting. Absolutely fine.
Well, you brought up a couple interesting points, and one is intention, which is extremely hard to pull from a slow motion replay. And it's part of the reason why this enforcement is so difficult, because the speed of the game is so quick that it's hard to avoid hits to the head when you're moving that fast and you're expected to make a tackle. And even when you're, you know, not leading with the head, maybe you're leading with the shoulder, maybe you're not even leaning down, maybe you're leading with your chest, you still hit a defenseless receiver in the head. You don't know where that dude's head's going to be when he crosses paths with you. And if you hit him in the head, that's targeting. It doesn't have to be helmet to helmet. It doesn't have to be shoulder to helmet. It can be anything to helmet on a defenseless receiver. That's targeting. And that can get you kicked out of the game. And that's why it's not really comparable to flagrant fouls in the NFL, because in the NBA, because those are intentional. And you can usually get intention from a basketball replay. With how quick things are happening in the NFL, you can't. And
I hear what you're saying. Question. I hear what you're saying, but in the words of a wise philosopher, that's no excuse, Beavis.
But it is.
No, I mean, it's not. No. If it's too fast, then maybe we got to find ways to slow it down.
Well,
if
yes.
if we're having trouble with the intention, maybe we got to put in some better reviews. But I am saying, like, that's no excuse to decide, hey, just like, let's not make a rule at all.
Well,
like,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying,
I mean, that's the problem, is that what you are saying, though, is going to be in service to that obscurantism, that people will say, well, we can't figure it out, so let's not do anything about it, because that's exactly what's going to happen with the fans out there.
There are certainly some fans that are like that, and I'm not among them.
Well, I'm just saying, that's fine, but I don't think football fans don't realize what a giant blight this is right now. And like, football is really reeling right now. Anything you can do to show that you at least acknowledge that this sport is getting kicked around because of what it is doing to the people who play it. And not even like, I mean, we're talking small potatoes here with these guys. The real issue is is with the kids and figuring out what you're going to do there. But that's an whole new line of bollocks. All I can say is, like, I'm fine with it. And I can't really see a downside to it. Like, it's going to create some calls during the season where people are going to scream about the refs again, but you know what? They were going to do it anyway. So that's fine.
It's true. It's just, to me, like, I don't want to say what's in place has been effective, but it's not like they haven't been doing anything. Like, Vontaze Burfict has been suspended for hard, inappropriate hits.
Yeah, he's been getting suspended, but he can keep coming back and playing on the next Sunday.
Well, no, he's been given, what, I think last one was a 3-game suspension. He should be banned by now.
That's kind of the problem, though, is that these owners want to just kind of do mealy mouth acknowledgement of it. I just, yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, if we can't ban these guys, then, you know, at least get more chances to throw them out, because there are repeat offenders out there and none of these rules are doing anything. So if you want to give them targeting and like just completely throw Burfict out of the game, by all means, go for it.
Ryan, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I have a few things to say. One is, I totally agree with what Chris is saying about, something has to be done.
I'm just from the mode that I'm fed up. I'm like, I've been fed up with the attitudes around the whole thing, but continue.
With that being said, though, I mean, there are going to be a lot of things that people complain about on top of this that are even going to be worse. I mean, if we have a targeting rule now, we're going to have even more stoppages and plays and more reviews and more dead time where there isn't football being played, but people standing around watching replays of football. So, I mean, talk about like shortening the game. This is just going to make it even longer, which, I mean, there's fat that we can cut in other places. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't have this targeting rule because it's going to make the game longer, but it's definitely going to lengthen games. And then the other thing too is that if there is a targeting rule and now we're worried about players getting ejected, should the active game day rosters be expanded from 46?
Yeah, I've always held it should be, but yeah,
I agree that they should be, and I believe one of the teams was discussing that as a possibility, because I think Dan Orlovsky actually raised the same concern. It's that the same one that Chris mentioned. If you're only got 46 guys active on game day, let's say you lose two in a game, suddenly down to 44, and a lot of those guys are just special teams guys, competition's going to be worse. The game's going to be worse overall. This affects every position.
Oh no, the owners might actually have to start paying more people. You mentioned trimming off the fat though, Ryan, and at least that kind of segues into it. I mean, they are at least trying to trim some of the fat, I guess, in that they've decided that, you know, they're not going to have like a giant legal book to determine what is a catch anymore. It's still going to be insipidly long, but I think it's people are going to have a better under. We're not going to have to sit there for 30 minutes with a catch. Hopefully. Yeah, I mean,
do you really trust that the NFL fixed the catch rule this week?
That's I feel like almost we should do that as our third segment. But I guess one word answers. Do we feel like they fixed the rule? Let's start with you, Jeremy. Do you feel like they fixed the rule?
No, absolutely not.
Ryan?
No, they don't fix anything.
So you couldn't hear him because he's in the background there doing something else. But yeah, he said they can't fix anything. And I mean, I'm kind of there. I think it will get off some of the cruft of it, but it's still it's a nightmare.
The sport is hell. It'll get some of the most maddening calls that were incomplete. It'll make them complete. But there's still going to be a handful of ones that are just as maddening. And then there's also the unintended consequence of now there's going to be a lot more fumbles. But I guess that's okay. I guess people like fumbles more than incomplete passes. So you're welcome.
Are fumbles really a bad thing, though? I like fumbles.
Yeah, they're exciting. They're exciting. It's fun and insane to kind of deal with. I did to close out this segment on kind of a lighter note about the catch rule thing. And I'm sure that Lions fans will appreciate this. I was with some classmates and they were doing a sports show and they were talking about this. And they said the first instance of kind of quibbles about the catch rule came when Dez Bryant couldn't catch that. His catch was overturned. And I had to tell them straight up. There's probably a lot of people in Michigan very mad that you said that.
Well, yeah. And let's bring up the Calvin Johnson play. Would you be a lot happier if that was a fumble? Now, granted, it wouldn't be it would still be a touchdown under the new rules. But if that would have happened in the regular field, you know, not in the end zone, that would be considered a fumble.
You're asking me to think as a fan, and I think we've ascertained that I'm not a Lions fan. B, I don't know if we should be fans as we are here trying to play the role of journalism now. But I mean, we are fans at the end of the day. But I'm not going to say what I would like as a fan or not.
Fine.
I'm trying to be professional here.
Take the coward's way out.
Sure.
So the Calvin Johnson catch would have been a touchdown?
It would have been a touchdown, but had it been in the regular field of play, not in the end zone, it would be a fumble.
There wouldn't be any chance for Calvin Johnson to come down with that ball and then have somebody bat it out of the back of the end zone? What would be the ruling on that?
Why, Ryan? Why, Ryan?
Let's take a break so we can talk to Ryan about this. All right, let's take a break. We'll come in back, get some more stuff in. I don't know what we're talking about yet. It's a holiday, so we're trying to keep this one short. And PODcast. Moving right along here. What was the other bit of news we had out of the owners meeting? We had something about Paul Pasqualoni. He's going to be calling the plays on defense, I believe, Jeremy, and it won't be Matt Patricia.
Yeah, I think we accidentally skipped over that. That might actually be the biggest news from the actual interviews during the owners meetings. Paul Pasqualoni, the 30, 40 year coaching veteran, will be calling plays. And I think everyone, when the Lions hired Paul Pasqualoni, they're like, well, he's experienced, but you know, as long as Matt Patricia calls the plays, we're going to be fine. And so I think our comment section went to about 300 words when this news dropped. People are not happy about it.
Why are they not happy about it?
He's had a couple stints as a defensive coordinator in the NFL, and in general, it hasn't gone well. It definitely didn't go well in Dallas. It was kind of just okay in, I want to say, Miami. It's hard to say. I mean, the guy's definitely experience. He's been a head coach in plenty of places, so it's not like the duties are too big for him. The question is just whether you think of a guy like Matt Patricia and you're like, ooh, this is a guy who's on the cutting edge. He's a new coach. This is a new opportunity for him to kind of show his smarts to a new market outside of New England. And then you think of Paul Pasqualone and you're just like, this dude's old. He's not going to bring anything new. I want a cutting edge guy who's going to bring new styles of off or new styles of defense, new ways of thinking. And he just kind of seems like the opposite of Matt Patricia, or at least the idea of Matt Patricia. I think
Matt Patricia is just making the decision that he's going to be the one to do this. So, right. I mean,
I mean, I think all of this is largely symbolic. Like not, I mean, I do think Paul Pasqualone is going to be calling the plays. I'm just saying the idea of these guys, the idea that Paul Pasqualone is this old school guy that won't bring anything new. And Matt Patricia is this brand new style of coach who's going to adjust to everything. All of that is largely symbolic and probably not a lot of truth. The truth is these guys have worked together before. Matt Patricia talked about it at the owners meeting today. They understand defense. They talk the same kind of language with defense. So that cuts down on the time to teach Paul Pasqualone his idea of a defense. It still will be Matt Patricia's defense. He just won't be the one calling the plays. And I don't know. I think this news tends to get overblown a little bit, but it still is a surprise to me.
Ryan,
Here's what it boils down to. Ready? So ready. Lions fans got a toy. They open it up for Christmas morning, but you need batteries for it. The batteries are Paul Pasqualone.
I like this. I like it.
Double A or triple A?
Double P.
Double P.
The 9-volt battery.
Are you concerned about it at all, though? So you're just saying he's just going to be a tool at this point.
No, I think it goes to what Chris said. Like, I mean, Patricia's the coach. He's putting Pasqualone in charge of it. It's still at the end of the day, it's Patricia's decision. Like, I don't think that Patricia would put a guy in place that he didn't feel comfortable calling the plays. Like, if he wanted those duties, don't you think he could handle them?
Yeah, that's exactly the argument I would make there, Ryan, is like, this is his call at the end of the day. So he's going to have to own it. Like, you know,
he will have to own it for sure. I think if it was completely up to Matt Patricia, I would say he'd keep them. I'm guessing there's someone in his ear said, you're a first time head coach, let someone else do it. You're not ready.
Really?
You're not ready to take on all those responsibilities. Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. He's a big boy. He knows what he says. What do you say?
What?
Good fellas. Come on.
Oh, sorry. I'm not as Italian as you.
Clearly. All right, what else do we have here from the news?
We can talk about, although we probably don't want to talk about it for long, the other free agent signing that the Lions had this weekend, which was Wesley Johnson, the center, former Jet center, the guy who was supposed to take over for Nick, the guy who was supposed to take over for Pro Bowl All-Pro Nick Mangold in New York.
Pooh boy.
And ended up being the worst rated Pro Football Focus center of 2017.
Hey, that's fine. For a long time, the Lions had the worst rated inside linebacker on Pro Football Focus for a while too. So, I mean, but I just wanted to confirm that it's not the forward from the Los Angeles Clippers who got crossed up by James Harden. They're two different people.
I appreciate that clarification. He also didn't play for the Sparks.
It's Leslie Johnson.
You can tell we're it's not that we're phoning it in, it's just that we're really running light on.
Plus, no one wants to talk about this signing because, yes, it's a guy with starting experience on the interior offensive line, but he's not good. He's not guaranteed to be on the roster. He's essentially going to compete with the other guy, the Lions side on the interior of the offensive line. Hopefully the Lions are still going to add one in the draft. I think this still remains one of the biggest, if not the biggest need in the draft, but who's excited about Kenny Wiggins or Wesley Johnson? Anyone here?
Hold on. Whenever the Lions sign an offensive lineman, ask yourself this question. Is it Don Barclay? And if the answer to that question is no, then at least they're in a better position than they were last year.
You think so? You can't possibly think the offensive line right now is better than it was last year.
Well, in light of the fact that we need to just fill up some more time here, and I'm out of Lions topics here, other than I guess we could grade free agency, but I get the sinking feeling the Lions aren't really done fiddling about. And I don't think people would like the grades I have. We do have some breaking news in Detroit sports that I want to pass by Ryan Matthews, since he's our resident Pistons guy. And so am I, really. But breaking news here, as we sit here podcasting, as you will more likely have as solid news, listening to this on a second, Stan Van Gundy has been relieved as head coach and president of basketball operations of the Detroit Pistons.
Chris, it's April Fool's Day.
You wait, what? God damn it. Are you kidding
me?
That
didn't really get you, did it?
I thought, did we even talk about this up front before we turned on the recorder?
No, I just saw it go by my thing and I saw it retweeted by someone who is usually.
Oh, God damn it. Chris.
I got God. Well done.
You got chapsed.
I got chapped pretty bad.
It happened online too, so I want you to now do your best Adam Schefter. Do your best Adam Schefter.
I can't do an Adam Schefter because
come on.
If I did an Adam how am I going to do an Adam Schefter that's also like mad too?
I don't know. Call out that person who you find usually reputable.
Well, I don't. He followed Duncan Smith. And by the way, Alex also fell for it too.
No, he didn't. He said lame.
Yeah, but he could be saying that it's lame that they were released.
I don't think so. I think he's saying that the...
Now I have to apologize to the goddamn Slack channel because I posted in there, too.
Apologize to our listeners right now.
I do have to apologize.
Gravel.
Well, we're filling up all this time. Fine. You know what? Gravel. For that, grade Lions free agency.
You want me to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I'd give it a big old fat C minus. It's teetering on D, but I don't want to go so far as to say that because we talked about this time and time before, but like the Christian Jones signing, the Devin Kennard signing, those guys were essentially different players, maybe not better, maybe probably not worse, but definitely different players, scheme players to fit Patricia's system. So, okay, whatever. I mean, I really like Tyre Whitehead, but it made sense why he's not coming back. I do like the LeGarrette Blount signing. He's probably the one signing that keeps my grade from being a D, is LeGarrette Blount. I'm excited for LeGarrette Blount. It'll be great, especially if he runs for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns like Pro Football Focus says he has a chance to do. I think everybody would be tickled pink if that were the case. But Deshaun Shedd doesn't move the needle for me. Kenny Wiggins doesn't move the needle for me. Wesley Johnson doesn't move the needle for me. Toilolo losing Ebron, Luke Wilson. I think a lot of people are really high on Luke Wilson, and it's nice, you know, the whole Windsor thing. Trust me, Journey will slowly kill me this season, but every time he makes a catch, if someone screams born and raised in South Detroit, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. But yeah, a solid C minus, I think, out of Lions free agency.
Jeremy?
I'm going to be the optimistic one here, and I'm going to go B minus. The one thing that I really like about this free agency was that it was very much a frugal one. They got a lot of solid depth for very cheap deals. I think that's one of the benefits of kind of waiting after that first wave of free agency. So you get a guy like Sylvester Williams on a 1-year, $3.5 million deal. You get one guy that I don't think anyone has even talked about, Jonathan Freeney. That probably happened after we recorded last week. 1 year, less than $1 million deal. Toilolo, Luke Wilson, all these guys on 1-year deals. So that's an interesting thing to point out, obviously. But I don't know. I there isn't a move that they made that I was vehemently against, other than the Nevin Lawson re-signing. That one's still a little bit of a head scratcher to me because he got a 2-year, I want to say like $9 million deal. That one I don't.
Yeah, but they can get out of it, right? They can get out of it after 1 year. I'm pretty sure.
I believe you're right there. But that's really the only move I didn't really like. And I honestly think, as much as we all love to be the ones to make the Jimmy Graham type of signings, I really think it is kind of the prude, the smart way is to just build through depth. And it's not that exciting, and it's not going to make the team drastically better. But come November, come December, when your team's beat up and you're relying on these second and third string guys, I think Lions fans are going to be thankful that they signed guys like Christian Jones.
I'm giving it a D. It's about what you lost and not what you gained. And you guys can bitch about Ebron not being what he was here, but I don't think they resolved that thing. And I totally hear the other thing is that I totally hear the argument about depth, but I'm at a point where I just don't buy it with Bob Quinn, because he signed a lot of depth the last couple of years, and then he spent the rest of the season fiddling around, cutting guys randomly, not just a spastic, uninspired idea of what constitutes depth, constantly grabbing guys off waiver wires and not really sticking with the product that he buys. And that's where I am. Like, I'm just looking at this and I'm shrugging. It's like, what has this done to make the team better? And I'm just, and we can talk depth all we want, but that depth hasn't really shown itself, because when a player gets hurt and we have to turn to that vaunted depth, it still looks pretty bad. Like, the depth doesn't really... What?
Asa Jackson. Never forget Asa Jackson.
Asa Jackson, yeah. Or, I mean, pick your name here of just some of the guys that have just come in for a cup of coffee, played like two snaps, then everyone realized, oh, we made a mistake. Quick, out the door before anyone notices. So, just that's where I am. Like, you've made at least one position worse. We've kind of talked about the center here, but I guess a lot of that depends on how good Graham Glasgow is. But just in general, like, yeah, I'm just uninspired by it, and I don't know where this is going. And I'm not, if you are saying to me, believe in Bob Quinn, my question to you is why? What has told you that Bob Quinn deserves complete admiration and unquestioned loyalty, when all he's really done was sign Marvin Jones and has again fiddled around a little bit? Like, I don't know what here has inspired me to say that I should believe in Bob Quinn. Like, I have questions, and Bob Quinn needs to start answering them.
There's the reason why I gave it a C-2 is because the Lions were actively trying to pursue other players that they just swung and missed on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
the Richard Sherman thing, Malcolm Butler, I don't understand. Like, I still think the Lions are going into the draft with too many needs at positions where they need like starter level players. Like, they need a 3-tech pass rusher. Like, they need an offensive guard or a center. Like, those are two absolute, like, they need starters at those positions.
Sure, but at the same time, like, I don't know how much I can trust the starters that they do have, you know what I mean? Like, when we're sizing up against other teams, I don't know if I can say some of the other starters are, like, would-be starters for other teams.
Like who?
Let's start with the center, then, Graham Glasgow.
Yeah, I think most Lions fans trust him at this point. I mean, you're not going to have 8+ starters everywhere, but I'm actually pretty, like, the offense I'm kind of okay with right now. I think it's pretty good as it is. Like, I don't think they need to get a running back early. I think they probably still will. I guess the left guard position is definitely the biggest concern there. But
I was going to say, you just asked me whether or not I thought the offensive line was better last year than it is now.
Right, right. So left guard is honestly the only position I see with any drastic need, like depth or starters. I think the Lions are okay everywhere else. Maybe need some tackle depth too, but I'm okay where they are offensively. Defensively, I think they're better at linebacker. I think they're about the same along the defensive line, which is not good. It's not
Well, it is. No, it's bad.
Which
it's bad.
Not good at all.
It's bad. I think they're better in the secondary with Deshaun Shedd. I think Deshaun Shedd is definitely an upgrade over DJ Hayden.
DJ Hayden, I would agree with that.
And so I don't know. I see that the team is worse at tight end, kind of in holding pattern and offensive line, though I expect it to be better after the draft. Defensive line the same, linebacker better, secondary better. So that's a net positive. Not a lot, but it's a net positive so far.
I'm just furiously disagreeing on what's gotten better. But again, this is the off season, so everything is in Schrodinger's holding pattern here. Let's take a break and let's get on to the mailbag. What do you guys say? Let's just bring this thing home.
I can't believe we made it. I can't believe we made it. We did it.
We did it, and I even got chaps along the way. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD, as always, to get your questions in. I am pulling up all the questions. Jeremy, though, has reviews. Jeremy, what we got?
Yep, we're down to, I think, our last five. So if you want to get in here, get in our podcast, leave a review on iTunes, preferably over everything else. I'll do a little hunting every now and then, but iTunes is where I read these from. Our first one comes from GreaseFire3452. He says, good podcast, gives us 5 stars. He says, this is a podcast about the Detroit Lions football team. The hosts discuss the team well and add humor appropriately. It has improved vastly since the hosts stopped discussing wrestling. F the Packers.
Cool.
Our second review comes from Zelly41. Says, a podcast that is a podcast. 5 stars. The only Lions podcast I listen to because it is the best out there. Jeremy and Ryan are fantastic. Their hot takes on food are exquisite, and their Facebook live feeds are truly something to behold. The host Chris is satisfactory. His hot takes are tolerable. Facebook live feed is around the realm of goodish, and his hometown of Toledo is passable. Truly adequate.
There was the word. I was waiting for it. It's a slow burn. I enjoy it. Okay. I'm still going through questions. Let's start here with them because I am hungry and I'm sure Ryan is too. We'll start with Chris D. Gibbons. What's your favorite brunch food item and brunch cocktail? Brunch Ooh. Cocktail, huh? If you got me a couple of years ago, I would have said mimosas, but there's a good place here in LA that does, and it's a pizza place, but they do really good breakfast platters and they serve up really good breakfast sangria. Brunch sangria, I guess.
Sangria is a really good answer because I was going to go mimosa. Because I'm not
sangria.
I'm not a fan of the Bloody Marys. It's just not my thing. Tomato juice, clamato juice, whatever you make it with, kind of makes me throw up in the morning. It's too much for me in the morning. So I'm definitely mimosa, but dang, sangria is a good answer too.
Ryan?
I don't practice Santeria.
Wrong thing, Ryan. Wrong thing. What about food items?
I'm a big Bloody Mary guy. So that out of the way, that notwithstanding. Except I don't like it when they do the whole, like, let's put a whole sandwich on your drink thing. Like, don't do that. Like, I just want a pickle. I just want a pickle. Like, that's all
don't
I need.
Overboard.
Like,
don't go overboard.
Because I feel like people do that to hide the drink. So like, oh, the drink's really not that good. So let's put something on it that looks like, you know, something from Arby's.
I think it started with people were just like, hey, we've been putting pickles on this, but let's see what happens when we put like a sausage on it or something. And it just became one-upsman foodie shit after that.
Whatever, losers. Anyways, for actual food though, like I think like brunch is always a good time to have a sandwich. And I always just want a sandwich.
Like a Monte Cristo.
Yeah, a good Cubano.
See, if I'm doing brunch, I'm not doing like lunch stuff. I'm going for the breakfast side of things. That said, though, if I can find a place to do it right, monkey bread is always a good hit.
What about a sausage McGriddle?
No.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles is a good answer. I'm a big French toast proponent. Love me some French toast.
Besides chicken and waffles, I'm a big believer in just the classic pancake stack.
What about stuffed French toast? Oh, God. Mm. I want it right now.
Pigs in blankets.
Is that a breakfast food or a brunch food?
Yeah. It's just sausage wrapped in, you wrap it in like a
croissant sort of pastry type thing. Yeah.
Is that a sandwich?
Yep.
The main man at Rory for Life. If you had to do away with the lion and pick a new mascot to represent the team and the city, what would you choose?
Ooh, I like that.
I think I would name them the Detroit Q Line and just have the mascot be the Q Line.
Okay.
Because why not? We need to get people to start using that more.
How about the Detroit Shock?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I want public transportation in Detroit so bad. So bad. If there was a light rail, I would be in Detroit every weekend. Every weekend.
I mean, we don't even have the best public transit in LA, but I still take it whenever I can because otherwise it's just a pain in the ass to get out to. It's like, yeah, sure, I'm going to spend like twice as long to get out to Santa Monica, but I would rather do that versus paying for parking and having to sit on the freeway.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I like driving too, but something about driving in cities is like, no, I'd rather just take a train.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Adequate podcast lover, what band would you pick to play during the Lions' first round draft pick this year?
Let me think. Toto.
Yeah, is this a question?
Well, I think actually I'd want Kenny G covering Toto.
You really want to go out there.
I don't know why he will not answer our tweets. I've tweeted Kenny G so many times from both my account and the Pride of Detroit account, and he just will not listen.
Oh, and the Pride of Detroit account's got a blue check mark, so he can't even ignore it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Mashy Smashy. I'm guessing Tate is the best skier, but which Lion is the best golfer?
I think Tate's pretty good at golf, too.
Yeah, if this was a few years ago, I'd say something like Rasheen Mathis. But he's retired now.
True. I'm trying to think. Every year, Tim 20-man has like a closest to the pin challenge. And I think Don Muehlbach win last year? I think he did.
I think I was told like before Taste the Lions in its place previously before that event was kind of a Lions golf outing. So I'd have to go back and look at the records, but yeah, you know what? I'm just going to say Muehlbach. I want to believe.
The answer is John Kitna.
Why? Why would you invoke that guy's name?
Why not? All right. Let's see here. I'm digging for more questions. A lot of Lions questions. In fact, one guy even calling me out Lions questions since Chris loves them. I see what you're trying to do, Darren Ramey, but your question is very staid, and I'm not sure you know what? Tell me if this question makes sense. Obviously, every GM wants more picks, but there seems to be more enthusiasm behind Quinn's comments. I don't know what you're talking about enthusiasm. With only 6 picks, do you think they make a draft day trade? What would realistically you like to see?
Yeah, so he's just talking about someone asked Bob Quinn if he'd like to acquire more picks in this draft by trading down. He said yes.
Yeah, that's everyone says.
Right, that is what everyone says. I don't know. It remains to be seen if Bob Quinn can actually pull one of those off. He hasn't. Has he not made a draft day trade at all?
Yeah. In his last year?
Last year
he traded down the second round. Yeah.
Oh right. So he's made one
on Kareem Hunt.
Well, yeah. He could have not missed out on him, and then he traded down. That's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's within the realm of possibilities. It's basically a guess at this point, and sure, I'll say that they trade down in the second round again.
All I can ask is, like, what good does that knowledge do for you as a fan? Like, what good does that knowledge do for you as a fan? Like, that's kind of something I've been kind of really... that's not to dissuade Darren Ramey. Thank you for the question. I'm sorry, I'm being a bit of an ass. Again, I'm sick. I'm just kind of curious about these kind of questions because we get them all the time, and I just have to ask, this is something for you at home. What good is the answer from us? What does it do for you? Like, does it enlighten you to something? Has it given you knowledge for some sort of secret war among fans I don't really know about? But like, what good does that answer do for your life or your fandom? I really want to know.
They just want to know what smart people like us have to think.
We're not smart. Oh, no. Don't put that pox on me.
All right. Smart people like me.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to say counterpoint to what you're saying, Chris, because I would agree with I generally agree with you. But to just do what my economics teacher in high school did and play devil's advocate and be a jerk. The only thing is maybe we say something like, oh, no, like we wouldn't want Bob Quinn to trade down because we really like player X, Y, or Z in the first round. And we don't think he'll be there later on.
Okay. Okay, I guess.
I know. I'm just trying to stick up for the little people.
And I gotta, what?
I was just going to take another question that I have that I saved.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to answer. Go ahead. Okay.
From Blakeberry, Idaho Sign Boss is his Twitter name. Is there any player on the Lions except Matthew Stafford that you wouldn't trade for two first round picks? And this is coming off of the news that Odell Beckham Jr., the Giants are asking for two first round picks to trade him. Is there anyone on the Lions roster who isn't worth two first round picks?
Absolutely not.
Oh, dang it. Chris blew it.
Why? What were you going
to
say?
I was going to add another wrinkle to this question and say, let's try to guess the player that all of us are thinking.
I mean, I think the most valuable player on the Lions roster that isn't Matthew Stafford is Darius Slay.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say Darius Slay. I was going to say that Chris was going to say A'shaun.
A'shaun's a good one. Golden Tate was on my mind a little bit, but then I realized he's pretty late into his contract too. So
yeah, it's the last year. I don't think he's going to be on the team in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeremy Langford doesn't play for the Lions, so.
Would you trade two first rounds to get him, though?
N.E. Shaw asking us, which musical instrument would create the worst version of Toto's Africa?
That's a good question.
This is funny because I think a few months ago, we saw a version of Africa being played on, like, what was it? Someone had created a musical instrument out of, like, floppy disk drives or something.
I've seen so many versions of this, and I'm guessing I know where this one is coming from. There was a little like toy piano version that someone made, and it sounds awful. It's the worst. And then there was more recently the one with the car. Someone got the keys are still in the ignition sound to be Toto's Africa.
What about Vuvuzelas?
Oh, that's a good answer.
That's the legitimate answer. That's the best answer for anything. But I was just going to say Glockenspiel because I like saying that word. But it would actually sound pretty cool on the Glockenspiel.
I wouldn't like it on the accordion. The accordion would be pretty bad.
I've heard some good accordions. I don't know.
Keytar?
Keytar, you can tune anything. Bagpipes is a really good one. I don't know how you could do a good... Like, because it's a certain tune that I just don't think you can do on a bagpipe. But you know what? I'm going to have to Google it afterwards and see.
I'm Googling it right now to see if there's something.
There probably is.
I don't see anything. Oh, this version of Toto's Africa will make your Friday.
Steve Daniels, are we done with jokes about Jim Bob Cooter's name or can we still do that? You can do whatever you want, man. It's not for me to say.
I'm trying to think if there's... Nah, I mean, I'm kind of over it, but
I think Jim Bob is almost just as funny, to be honest.
Yeah, you're showing your northern bias there.
That's fine.
Just keep clicking. Keep clicking. That's very loud and going into the podcast.
That's fine. I was just fast-forwarding to see if there was any accordion in the song. There's not. It's just people singing Irish.
Singing? Hold up. Singing Irish?
In an Irish accent.
I don't think I can continue after that.
Can we log off?
We can. Let's take two more questions and then get out of here. Jack H, if you lived in Schaumburg, where's Schaumburg? Is that Illinois?
Ireland? Yeah. I have no idea.
Get your head out of the gutter. Yeah, Schaumburg. If you lived in Schaumburg,
did you just call Ireland the gutter?
Schaumburg is a village in Chicago.
Okay.
If you lived in Schaumburg, would a Saturday consist of going to breakfast at IHOP, getting your hair cut at Sport Clips? Looking at electronics at Best Buy, having a late lunch at Olive Garden with a coupon with a Cubs fan from Boys Town that you met on the internet. I want to know about that last thing. Like, what is that last reference, Boys Town? Is that another village? Yes, yeah, whatever.
Is this a diary that someone posted in our comment section?
I have no clue.
What is happening?
We get some very obscene, weird stuff sometimes.
I'd rather get that stuff. Though.
I think he's trying to rag on Chicago, but I don't get it.
I don't hate on IHOP. They got some good syrup choices.
Waffle House is better, but other than that, I can't befront it.
Yeah, and I don't really hate on the Olive Garden part either.
Oh, shut up. Critical perspective. The Chicago Blackhawks had to use an emergency goalie in a game this week. A beer league goalie, he says. What position would you be best suited to play if the Lions are forced to put you into a game due to a roster emergency?
Place kick holder.
Mascot.
I'm definitely not going to say long snapper because you'd immediately look like a fool out there replacing Don Muehlbach. And plus, I don't want to suggest that he would ever get injured. So I'd be a pretty good Ebron replacement, I think.
Yeah. I was gonna say either place kick holder or I was gonna say wide receiver on a running play.
Where you're just running a fly.
Yeah. Also, by the way, that goalie, what a dumb story. Who cares? Go balance a checkbook. Go back to your day job. Who cares? You made 7 saves. Sweet. Cool.
Hot take.
Wow. What a cynical dick. Jesus.
That's like Stugazi, and I like it.
Don't care. Sweet. You made 7
you
saves.
You were just like, you were so bitter about all these puff pieces. Like, you were so mad about Sister Jean. So mad.
Hey, Ryan, here at USC, we had a... We had a kid who was legally blind. He kicked a PAT against Western Michigan. What do you think about that?
I think that's really impressive. I think that's entirely impressive. I don't think it's very impressive to sit in a wheelchair and steal the spotlight from, you know, the team that actually got you there.
Jesus Christ, man. Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I Am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.